appreciate that prayer and ask that you continue to pray for us for the time we stand before you this evening. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. A particular phrase I'd like to look at in this chapter, before we get to it, I'd like to read a few verses. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. In these verses that we've read to you, of course, this being the 30th chapter of this book, there's a whole lot that has taken place prior to this chapter. But if you back up several chapters, get to chapter 16, you'll find David was anointed king over Israel in chapter 16. But here we are in chapter 30, years later, and he's not reigning as king over Israel. In God's mind, God's purpose, he's king over Israel. Whether he appears to be a king, whether he's sitting on the throne as king, doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. There is a man named Saul who is the sitting king of Israel, but that makes no difference in the Lord's eyes. In the Lord's eyes, David is king over Israel, whether the people acknowledge that or not, and whether Saul himself acknowledges that or not. And we find that as the chapters go by, that Saul begins to notice David and notices that people favor him after he slew Goliath. When everyone else was afraid, David wasn't. He killed Goliath. And he began to try to take his life, tried to kill him. Several times David was in his presence and he threw a javelin at him, trying to pin him to the wall and kill him. He wasn't able to. He laid wait around his house to kill him in his bed. He escaped out. His wife, Michal, helped him. David went and found the priest and the city of Nob, and didn't have a sword, but the priest gave him Goliath's sword. Didn't have anything to eat. The priest gave him the showbread. And Saul found out about that and came and killed all the priests except for Abiathar, who found David and stayed with him. David had several of his brethren come out, hundreds of men come and fight with him. And Saul on many occasions sought David's life. One time he had him surrounded in a mountain. The Ziphites had delivered David into Saul's hand. But Saul heard about war of the Philistines back in Israel, and he had to leave to go and fight in that battle. The Lord delivered him on that occasion. Two other times, David was on top of Saul while he's asleep and could have killed him. But he says, I will not lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed. David continuously did the things that were honorable and pleasing in God's sight. But this is a dark period in the life of David. Because David, at one point, after all these assassination attempts by Saul, he begins to say, I'm but a step. There's but a step between me and death. Saul's going to kill me. I've got to get out of here because Saul's going to kill me. David didn't seek the Lord's will in that, didn't seek his guidance. Instead, he just went down and landed in the Philistines because he thought that would be what was best. Well, if you back up just a chapter or two before what we read, the Philistines are going to battle with Israel. And Saul goes and finds a witch and calls up Samuel, and he tells him, you're going to die in this battle against the Philistines. And David was going to go out and fight with the Philistines. Well, the Philistines didn't want him fighting with them, and they sent him home. But what David and his men didn't realize, and we just read here in chapter 30, is while they were away, their city where they lived was burned to the ground, and their wives and their sons and daughters were taken captive by the Amalekites. David, I can tell, has made three mistakes that's led up to this. First of all, he's been attacking the Amalekites over and over again and stirred them up against him and has brought this upon him. Two, he shouldn't be in the land of the Philistines. Lord didn't lead him there. Lord didn't tell him to go there. David was afraid. He said, there's a step between me and death. I got to get out of here. Saul's going to kill me. Lord had been delivering him time and time again, and yet he still did that. And David, his men were away from home when they should have been here defending, and they should have never been there. They should have been seeking the Lord's guidance. But they come back to a burned down city. Come back, and their wives and sons and daughters are gone. And he and his men are so upset that they just cry until it says they have no more power to weep. They're so weak. They've been crying so much. Can you imagine being in their shoes? I think this is what Job experienced to some degree. They've lost all their possessions, been burned down. Imagine going home tonight and your house is burned down. Everything you own is gone. All your memories, all your possessions, all the things that bring you comfort and help in this life, it's all gone. Imagine that being your case. Imagine your family being away. Where are they? Who's taking them? Where'd they go? Well, what are we going to do? This is the great distress that these men are under. And for David, it gets worse. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now they're turning against David. I mean, you turn your back on the Lord and go your own way. Things don't go well when you go down that path. And David had gone down that path. Now they're wanting to kill David, saying it's your fault that this happened to us. And want to stone him. But the phrase I'd like for us to consider tonight is the end of verse 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now that word encourage means to inspire courage. The word courage means moral strength. Virtuous strength, virtue, to persevere. Strength. It deals with strength to persevere or overcome some obstacle. And so David inspired courage. He inspired the moral strength in himself. And this is where he found it, in the Lord his God. That's where he found it. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, we could have a lot of difficult circumstances in life, but that doesn't mean it should take us away our joy. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That means no matter what your life circumstances are, you should still have joy, because regardless of what your circumstances are, you always have joy in the Lord. You always have something to rejoice in the Lord. And I'll tell you, David demonstrates that he's a strong person, strong child of God. Because a lot of God's people that I come in contact with need someone else to encourage them. Or someone else will discourage them. But here, David didn't get discouraged. They're wanting to kill him, and he's upset. He's lost his wives and children, just like they have. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How does one go about doing that, encouraging themselves in the Lord their God? Well, I want you to remember, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Goliath came upon the army of Israel, all the army was afraid. Even Saul, they were all afraid. But David wasn't. Why? Because David told King Saul on that occasion, I remember There is a lion and there is a bear, and they took a lamb out of the flock. And I went and fought that bear, and when they rose up against me, I grabbed them by the beard and I slew them. And he says, and the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the mouth of the bear shall deliver me from this Philistine. You know, he had courage on that occasion, and he encouraged himself because he remembered what the Lord had done for him in the past. Notice, you get great strength and courage from remembering what the Lord, how he's delivered you in the past. You know, I think about the nation of Israel when they got in the wilderness, how much murmuring, complaining, and all the things that they did. And I think, did they forget about the 10 plagues in Egypt? Did they forget about crossing the Red Sea dry shod and God drowning the Pharaoh's? Did they forget about that? They must have, but don't we? You know, we come upon some life circumstance that overwhelms us. But may we remember what the Lord's done in the past and what he's capable of doing today. You know, Ephesians 3, the last verse says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. God is able to do way more than we could even ask him to do. Or we could even think that he's capable of doing. He can do it exceedingly abundantly above that. He can do more than we ask or think. So David, I believe, remembered how the Lord had delivered him in the past. And I believe if we go into the Psalms, we'll find that David actually records his thoughts on these occasions. If you go to Psalm 56, I want you to notice something here that I didn't notice all these Psalms were grouped together, but around Psalm 52 and upwards, if you look at the titles of these Psalms, you'll find like Psalm 57 is David writing when he's fleeing from Saul in the cave. Psalm 56, David is writing when the Philistines took him in Gath. And you can look at Psalm 59 when David wrote when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. Notice all these Psalms here together about David and the distress that he's in. If we ever find ourselves in an overwhelming circumstance like David was, maybe not our life in jeopardy, but certainly there's a lot of distress that comes upon us living in the world in which we do. We can read these Psalms and read the words of David and see what he took strength in. Notice Psalm 56, verse 1. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Consider David back in 1 Samuel 30. Here he is, he's lost all that he's had. His wives and his children are taken away captive. His city's burned down. And the men who've been fighting with him, who've been with him, and they've been his support and his fellow soldiers, now they want to kill him. He's all alone, right? He says, man will swallow me up. But verse 3, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Oh, man. You talk about encouraging yourself in the Lord your God. That's it. Putting your trust in the Lord and not being afraid what a man can do to you. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, fear not them that are able to kill your body, but fear him rather who's able to destroy your body and soul in hell. He's the one. Put your trust in the Lord who's able to protect you and to keep you from whatever man might design to do. You know, Saul came up with many inventions, many ways to try to trap and kill David, but he never could do it. Why? Because if the Lord is on your side, there's nothing that man can do unto you. If you back up to Psalm 42, we find this is actually recorded in one of the songs in our songbook, as it talks about, as thirst the heart for water brook, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. I'm sure we're familiar with the song. We sing it here from time to time. But in here in Psalm 42, he talks about here in verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. This verse. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Now notice, he's asking himself, why are you cast down? You know, we get cast down from time to time. But here we read that the psalmist is cast down. This is a characteristic of a child of God. From time to time you get cast down. But he asks, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Put your trust in the Lord. Put your expectation of a brighter future in God's hand. That song we sang tonight, 153, "Be not dismayed. God will take care of you." Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Put your care in his hand. He cares for you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be cast down. God cares for you. God will take care of you. "Hope thou in God." He says, "I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And I want to notice with you, I believe that's where it's at. I may have to find it here. 2 Chronicles. I think it might be 1 Chronicles. I might have my... That's not a book that... Well, I'm just going to tell you what it says because I can't find it. Or maybe it's 15. Let me check that. If that's not it, we'll just have to move on. There it is. 2 Chronicles 15. I want you to notice another king by the name of Asa. I want you to notice what takes place here. Asa says in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed, nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Verse 8. "And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." Now notice what's going on here in this scene. After Solomon's reign, the nation of Israel is actually divided into two kingdoms. They're called Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And Asa is the king over Judah. Israel, if you do some study in the history of 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you'll find Israel did not have the first righteous king. They were all evil in God's sight. Judah had some righteous, some wicked, but they were all the descendants of David. And so Asa is now the king over Judah, and Israel has just fallen apart, and parts of Israel were now coming in to being a part of the kingdom of Judah under Asa's reign. And this prophet, sent by the Lord with the Spirit of God, tells him God's word. And when he tells him God's word, he tells him that there's been a long time these folks up here have been without God. They've been serving idols up there. And so now, don't let that rub off on you, is what he's saying. You get them to serve the Lord and seek the Lord, and he'll be found of you. So what does Asa do in verse 8? He hears what he has to say, and he gets courage, and he puts away all the abominable idols out of the land. So he heard the word of God. He got courage, strength from the word of God. And then it moved him to action to do what the Lord would have him to do. Now I'll tell you, you and I, if we, like David, want to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, then we need to do like Asa. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to respond to the Word of God, get courage and strength from the Word of God, and then we need to be moved into action to do what God would have us to do, like Asa. And you'll find as you continue reading that chapter that the Lord blessed them. He blessed them on that occasion. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll notice something after it says David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. That David, rather than doing what he had been doing, whatever he thought was best, he now calls for Abiathar and tells him to come as the priest with the ephod, and David inquires of the Lord. Now here he is in this great distress. What are we going to do? Where are they at? Where are we going to go? And David starts asking the Lord questions. Starts asking him questions. I want us to think, when it comes time that we need to be encouraged in the Lord, I want us to do as that song we sang tonight, where it says, I would see Jesus. I would see Jesus. If you want to be encouraged in the Lord your God, you need to see Jesus. You need to look for Him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that let us run with patience the race is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. He endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, but the Bible says he did not fail and he was not discouraged. He was not discouraged. I believe David's men were discouraged on this occasion, but David wasn't. I believe that the 12 apostles were discouraged when Jesus was taken and crucified, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus never was discouraged and he did not fail. Well, if we want to be encouraged in the Lord of God, we need to see Jesus. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It didn't matter how hard or difficult the task was, he still went on. He still went forward. If we're going to be the strong disciples of the Lord that David was, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord of God and we need to see Jesus. If you look unto Jesus and remember this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, he took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But God's highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. No matter how low and despondent you feel, just remember this. God is able to exalt you to a position that no man can put you in. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. See Jesus. See His example. See what He did. See where the Lord has placed Him. On the right hand of God where you'll be one day. And when you're like David and you're encouraged in the Lord your God, then it's time to do like David. David went to the Lord in prayer. Started asking Him a series of questions. Verse 8 of 1 Samuel 30 says, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? The Lord responded, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them and without fail recover all. Oh, what an answer to prayer. What an answer to prayer. There is no need, as the song we sang, number 153, be not dismayed. There's no need to be dismayed. Listen to what the Lord is telling you. You know, if you read God's Word, I believe that if we pray that the Lord get us in the right spiritual frame of mind, when we read God's Word, God is able to use the words that you're reading to speak directly to your heart. God is speaking. I remember hearing a sermon about a year ago, Elder Mark Quarles said that when we leave our Bibles closed at home and don't read them, God's speaking, but we're not listening. You got to open God's Word and hear, as Asa did, hear the Word of the Lord, and it gives you that strength you stand in need of for the daily tasks of the day. David inquired of the Lord, and oh, the good answer to prayer. He says, pursue after them, for thou shalt without fail recover all. Oh, this is a wonderful chapter. I wish we had time to look at it all. The Lord actually leaves an Egyptian there who had been left sick, who gives them turn-by-turn directions to take them right to where all their family is. You know, the Lord is able to use such small things to accomplish great things, and He does so on occasion after occasion. But my charge to you tonight is to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Time comes when David is to pass on from the scenes of this life. You know what he told Solomon when he passed on? Solomon was to reign in his stead. He told Solomon the same thing the Lord told Joshua when Moses passed away. He said, be strong and of a good courage. I tell you, that's what we should teach the next generation. We need to be strong. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. But we need to teach the generation following. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Don't let the fear of man and the things that they say and the things that they threaten, don't let that get you down. Remember the time Elijah felt like he was all alone. His life was threatened. And he got discouraged. The Lord gave him a friend. He gave him Elisha to help encourage him along the way. But may we be like David. May we be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord as God. Remember all the things He's done. Remember all the ways He's delivered us in the past. No matter what life circumstance we have today, Jesus has won the victory. There's nothing that's going to pluck you out of His hand. You are eternally secure in the hand of God. Nothing will pluck you out. No matter what happens to you on this side of glory, remember that nothing will pluck you out of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And go to the Lord in prayer. Turn to His Word. Find the strength. Find the answers. I tell you, it will help us in the days to come. I thank you for your good attention tonight.